Well, welcome to Cayucas Community Church Virtual Worship. We're delighted that you have come back to join us. If you've been with us before, and if this is your very first time, thanks for dropping in. Of course, this morning we have to take a special moment to congratulate all the mothers that are listening, to honor and encourage you, and to celebrate with you on this special day. And for those of you that have been faithful in our broadcast here into virtual turf, I just want you to know we continue to do so, and you can also find other updates about our future plans on our website on the coronavirus link. It's just down and to the right from the sermon link, which if you're watching this, you certainly have already found. There is a place on the site below the video for you to leave a comment, or you can also use the contact us information there on the website. We'd love to hear from you, appreciate your responses, your encouragements, and also your suggestions. And we continue to look forward to making the most of this season when we cannot get together and anticipate the time when we will be able to. For those of you that have been giving faithfully, we express our appreciation, and you are still welcome to mail, drop off by the church, or use the donate link on the website, all of which enable us to continue coming to you and continuing our ministries and supporting our missionaries. If you haven't already, let me remind you again to use the links below the video for some worship songs. There's a little bit of fun stuff there for Mother's Day, some serious songs of praise, and then a final encouragement that we would welcome you to go back to at the end of the message. It's time for virtual greeting. And so today I have a specific suggestion, and that's that you include some mother. Now, if your mother is not joining us in virtual worship, that's certainly understandable. So maybe you can pick another mother and just give them a Mother's Day wish as you invite them and encourage them that you are gathered together from your place of watching for our virtual service. Just hit the pause button, and when you're done, come back. And we thank you for returning. Let's turn our hearts to pray as we come to study some principles of God's Word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you love us, that you care for us, that you have designed the family, that you have put us in relationships. And Lord, we acknowledge to you that sometimes we mess them up, and sometimes we mess them up badly. And we thank you that you forgive us, that you help us, that you give us instruction in your word to strengthen and guide our relationships together as well as our relationship with you. We pray today for families that are living in times and in spaces that are new and different for most of us, in that we have more time on top of each other, and we just pray for special grace as we live in this sequestered life. We pray, Lord, for the mothers that are among us. We thank you for those who have preceded us to glory. We thank you for those that continue to live beside us. We pray, Father, for those who are struggling, that you would lift them up and draw them unto yourself in fresh and new ways. We continue to pray for the leaders of our country and our state as they guide us through this pandemic season, that they might seek your wisdom, that they would guide us well, that you would encourage us in how we respond to those things, that you lift us up and keep our spirits bright, even though as time drags on, certain things get more and more difficult and we feel more and more isolated. And we pray, Lord, that your word would continue to speak to us. We just thank you that you have revealed yourself, your desires, and your ways to us. And as we engage them this morning, again, we ask that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our hearts, that we might receive and respond in a way that honors you and what you have given to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to admit that Mother's Day for me oftentimes poses a conundrum. I've been through quite a journey with some of these special holidays in my own life and ministry, and I've recognized at this stage of my life that in the early days of ministry, I was probably a bit naive at least a little bit uninformed as to the realities of what a day like Mother's Day means to a lot of people. My first assumptions as a young pastor were that everybody had happy families and Mother's Day was a great day to get together and to celebrate, that mothers were loved and encouraged, and kids and husbands were loved by the wives and mothers in their home, and it was just kind of a special day to up the ante in terms of how we honor and celebrate them. And then I ran into me. And what I mean by that is I began to realize that I wasn't such a perfect husband, nor a perfect father, nor was I able to accomplish all the things that were in my heart to do to serve and love my wife and to lead my kids to do the same thing. And so I began to ask God in more specific and consistent ways to change me, and that just helped me realize that there's other people that need to be changed for the benefit of their relationships. And then the more people I served, the more I began to realize how many broken homes there were, how many wives and mothers had to face this day feeling set aside or left out, how many families were trying to figure out how to shuttle kids from one family to another, and sometimes even more than two, as their blended families tried to celebrate and honor even amidst the pain and the difficulty of some broken relationships. As I saw how this impacted families, I realized that for many of them, a day like Mother's Day posed as many or more challenges as it did blessing. And then I began to encounter more often those who had parents and mothers in particular for this day who had not only fallen short maybe of an ideal or a model, but who had actually used and abused and allowed horrific things to happen in their homes and to their children. And those scars were very deep and very hard, and coming to a day like this brought back many memories that were not all that pleasant. Then there were those who wanted children but weren't able to have them, and for reasons that nobody really knows, except that in God's plan, their womb and their family was to come by a different way, and so they would struggle with those who had the privilege of being called mother by their biological children or even adopted children. Then you add to that those who had conceived but had decided for whatever reasons and by whatever influences to terminate those pregnancies. And now they have the different side of the difficulty that comes from those choices. There were those who chose not to have children, but then they would come to a day like this feeling very left out. And then, of course, are those whose mothers have already left this life ahead of them, and they have grief work to do. So it becomes a very complex day, and we face quite a variety and range of emotion and response, even at just the name Mother's Day. For me, I've come to realize that Mother's Day is a day that both blesses and curses simultaneously. And by that I mean, for some, it just uplifts their emotions and it's a great experience. And for others, it brings waves of emotional struggle and trauma to their attention. So to those of you who love Mother's Day, I want to celebrate with you today. And those of you who loathe Mother's Day, my heart deeply goes out to you. And I trust that what we do here in this study will reach out to all of us, because we realize that God is above all of the garbage that sin brings into the world. On this particular Mother's Day, we now have an added interesting twist, which is that while most families try to get together to celebrate these kind of holidays, we're stuck in separation, most of us. And so if we're gathering on Zoom or Skype or over email or FaceTime or some other preferred platform. We're not necessarily face-to-face, and that creates a different type of stresses in our relationships. I do have to say one thing, however. One of our personal family traditions for Mother's Day that I started with our kids was to serve Bonnie breakfast in bed. And this was the easiest Sunday I have ever had to serve her breakfast in bed. So I guess there's always something to thank the Lord for in virtual church. Well, leaving that behind as we press forward to the scriptures, my hope as I was planning for this and just felt prompted by the Spirit was to lead us into a series of scriptures that would encourage us how to love the sequestered ladies in our life. It's a little bit broader than just mothers. In fact, most of these principles extend to the church and to the family more broadly. Our applications today will be particularly to the women in our lives, but the principles here are really for every one of us. And so I started digging into the scriptures and asking myself, what has God revealed to us that would enable us to love each other and particularly to love the ladies in our life better in this season where we are set apart and sequestered and so-called safe at home? Now, let me assure you, I found these in the scriptures not as they were my personal favorites nor the things that I felt were the most honorable in my own life. I'm on a journey with all the rest of you in discovering the Spirit's power and God's insight into how to implement these in my relationships. But I offer them to you this morning as just sort of a catalyst. There are far more biblical principles about how to love than we could ever touch in one message. So I have four to stimulate your thinking this morning, and I hope that at least one of these will grab and encourage you and provide some impetus for effectively or more effectively loving the sequestered lady or ladies in your life. Our first one comes from the book of 1 Peter, and that is to love them with understanding. In chapter 3, Peter is writing to husbands and wives. The opening verses are addressed to wives, and when we get to verse 7, he speaks to husbands. He says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor." Now, though this instruction is directed specifically to husbands in relationship to their wife, certainly for those who have children, their wife is also the mother in their home. But in a more broad application, it's giving us insight and understanding into how relationships operate in the hand of God. Peter literally says here, live with your wife according to knowledge. That is, to be able to dig in to not just guess at, not just anticipate, and not overgeneralize, but to truly understand who and how we can minister to the women in our lives. Most of us men recognize that to claim to really know a woman is a bit dangerous because women are deep wells, and we oftentimes feel like we don't have quite the right buckets to get to all that is drawn, that we could draw forth down inside of those wells. Yet the Scripture gives us guidance, it gives us helps, it gives us encouragements. It reminds us that sometimes the problem is not what we don't know, but it's just that we're a little too lazy or a little too complacent to do the hard work that is required in truly knowing and understanding another person, and that it is in that understanding that relationships flourish. So part of my exhortation to us all this morning is to invest in this process of knowing. We love as we get to truly know other people. Now, certainly understanding isn't automatic, so we have to invest. We take time, we take energy, we dig into our own hearts, we explore, we ask questions, we intentionalize, and then we listen carefully so that we can actually do something meaningful with what we learn. And if relationships normally require understanding, then in this season of sequestration, we need extra understanding because we're facing things we haven't faced before. And we're doing life in ways that most people haven't done life before. We're clustered together. We're undertaking multiple tasks at the same time. In many homes, especially with younger children, We have mothers that are trying to tend to the home, to support and encourage their husbands, to help with the education of their children, and many of them are also working at home. They have to manage what the kids are up to, how to entertain them, how to manage their internet access, how to keep everybody moving and keep everybody fed, and all of the things that many mothers often do, or at least to be a part of the family matrix of how those things happen in that particular home. And when we're that close together, the relationships that have stress get overstressed, and those that had little before may find new points of tension. So how do we live with understanding? How do we love with understanding in this sequestered season? Well, you can go to Gary Smalley, and he will help you figure out whether the woman in your life is a lion or an otter or a beaver or a golden retriever. You can go to Gary Chapman, and he'll help you discover the five love languages and drill down to see what is truly the love language of the lady in your life, and that gives you some understanding. And these are great kinds of tools that we can use, but I'm aware we're already on Mother's Day, and you probably don't have time to read a book before you embark on this adventure for today. So I'm going to take a couple of passages here that I think illustrate how we can live with understanding and encourage us across all the spectrum of all of these different temperaments, types, and preferences. One of those comes from Colossians chapter 3, and it is simple. It's a great principle for all of life that we learn to express gratitude. We do it frequently, and we do it openly. Paul wrote to the Colossian church, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Beyond all these things, put on love. So there's our how do we love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We're looking for togetherness in our family. And let the peace of Christ rule. Let it be the umpire in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So there is an interconnection in this series of commands and exhortations that ends up with being thankful. Now, when we're under stress, sometimes we have to look a little harder for the things that we're thankful for. But remember, you don't have to be thankful for everything in order to be thankful for something. So think as long as you need to find that which puts gratitude in your heart for the lady in your life today and express it. Say it out loud. Say it again and again and again to be a source of encouragement. Secondly, offer your help. It can be very exhausting for a mother, and an average mother, let's say. I know I'm generalizing here, but many mothers invest a lot of their time and energy to oversee their home and their family. And then when many people, others, have needs, they're trying to lift the load to help minister to those needs. It just wears you out to then have to take the step to ask others to help you. So take that off of mother's plate, or off of the lady in your life's plate today, and offer to be a source of help. Galatians 5:13 is an instruction to the church that is rooted in our salvation, but it is also effective for the home. Paul writes there, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, but do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Jesus has given us a capacity to give, to serve, to care, to offer help, even when it seems like in our own emotional matrix, we have run out of capacity. So even if you feel like you're getting to the end of your rope today, ask God to give you the grace to offer help, to use your freedom in Christ, not just to meet your own needs, but to reach out and offer help to the lady in your life. We want to look out for them, not just today, but every day. And you say to yourself, as I may say to myself, but what help is it that she needs? Well, you may have some grand ideas right off the cuff, but here's a suggestion that always seems to work. Ask her what she needs. To presume that we always know what these ladies in our world need is probably a little bit foolish. there's a good chance that we don't have the complete insight we need to be able to touch them at their place of greatest felt need. So ask, and then when they share, listen attentively with the intent of acting or responding compassionately to what would minister to them. A part of that is to give them the space to communicate and then to give them grace, because it doesn't matter how solid a person is. There comes a time when every one of us gets stretched to the tipping point. And I'm not sure that this is the day that the ladies in your life are at the tipping point, but I'm sure there will come some occasion before we get out of this virus season when we get stretched to the point where we just feel like we'd like to throw up our hands and walk away from something that we're in the midst of. So that requires us to give a little bit of extra grace. Now, I recognize that another factor of Mother's Day is that we also have people that are living alone, women that are living alone. The family or the men in your life are not there for whatever reason. Many of you are widows, you're single, or your children are scattered across the country or even across the globe. You don't have a person right next to you today to ask you that question, what do you need face to face? You don't have someone who's there to put the hands and feet to it as an act of ministry to you in this hour. So let me remind you of just a couple of things. One is that God has committed himself to be the husband of the husbandless, the father of the childless. In other words, he says, I am your family when no other family is present, when you are my children. And then recall that you can do self-care. So take some time to tend to your own needs today. I know mothers are often looking out for the needs of others at the expense of meeting their own. So take a moment, take an hour, take an afternoon, and allow yourself the freedom and the joy of ministering to yourself, of doing what people in this season and others have come to call self-care. Understand where you are personally, individually, emotionally. And as you understand yourself, take a step that will meet you where you are today. We love the ladies in our world, our sequestered world, by understanding them. Secondly, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, which encourages us to love them by speaking with grace to edify. Verse 29 of that fourth chapter says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for building up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. The principle simply is speak words that build up and give grace. James, in the third chapter of his letter in the New Testament, reminds us of the power of the tongue for good and evil. He uses some various word pictures there. He talks about the tongue being like the bridle in the horse's mouth. It's big and strong and can do great things, but this little piece in its mouth can control and guide its behavior. Similarly, a rudder to a ship that takes great winds on the sea and moves grand distances, and yet it's guided, it's directed by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. These appear to be the expressions of how the tongue can do good. It's a small thing, but it can bring about very beneficial effects. And then he says, but also consider what a mighty forest can be set afire by the tongue. That is, the tongue is like a small spark, and yet it can produce an incredible blaze. In my observation, stress sharpens our tongues like a whetstone. It makes us more vulnerable to use our tongues in unwholesome and damaging and less than beneficial ways than normal. So we love others when we guard our mouth, when we set a security over it, and we use it for good and not for evil. We use it to build up, to strengthen, to encourage, to fortify, rather than to tear down. Think about your mouth being more like a mason than a wrecking ball. It's there to create something of good and not to tear others down. How important is this? Well, David talks about it in the 39th Psalm in the opening verse when he says, "I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue, and I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle." I think most of us are struggling with the idea that every time we go outside, we have to put a mask on, or people want us to put a mask on, or they look at us funny anyway if we don't have a mask on. Let that mask remind you of the importance of putting a guard over your mouth to guide your tongue in ways that build up and give grace. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 gives us some additional help in this journey. Paul here gives a very specific instruction, which is particularly suitable for times when we're on top of each other a lot. Do all things without grumbling and complaining or disputing. It's a reminder that I think most of us need frequently, and in this sequestered season, we probably need it even more frequently, for we have these mounting pressures and unknown things that keep coming at us. So what is the point here? The point is that we can learn to trust God to help us guard our mouth and to discover the joy of being able to use our mouth in such a way that it builds up and gives grace to those around us, and for our application today, specifically to our mothers and other ladies in our life. We love them by understanding them. We love them by speaking graciously to them. And thirdly, we love them by sharing the Word together with them. We need truth. We know that. We know God's Word is the truth. The Scriptures tell us that. And it's a major help to us when we set aside some time to share it with those that we love. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives a series of instructions to families, many of which are directed specifically to husbands and wives again. With respect to wives, he includes this guidance, and I think it's not too far a stretch to say this is also appropriate for children to their mothers, although he does give later in the passage other specific instruction to children. In verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her," to set her apart would be another way of saying that, "having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Now, men, we have a very simple task here, husbands most specifically with reference to our wives. It is to love our wives as Christ loves us. Now, I say simple because this is a lifelong learning journey and a challenge that we will never fully conquer. But the passage gives us here some very specific ways in which we can love as Jesus loved this woman that he has put in our life. He says that Jesus loves us in such a way that he wants to transform us by washing us with the Word so that we become holy and blameless. That's about the change of our character to become like his own. This is a process that Jesus prayed about in John 17, right at the end of his earthly life, when he asked the Father to sanctify his disciples with the truth, and then he says, "Your word is the truth." So if we love the ladies in our life, we can love them by bringing them to God's word and engaging with it together. We can encourage her to do it on her own as well. But there is something that I've found that ministers to the heart of a woman when we do it together. Bonnie and I have found in recent months a lot of delight and encouragement by simply listening to Scripture together using a little app called Bible Gateway. But there are many others out there that can be just as effective, and some people prefer to do the reading themselves. And to you kids that may be watching along with us today, I think there is an application for you as well to invite and welcome your parents to be engaged with you in reading the scriptures. Ask them to read the Bible or a Bible story book with you. Discuss it with them. Respond favorably, encouraged when they invite you to do this with them, because we love our sequestered ladies when we understand them and we speak graciously to them and we engage the Word of God's truth together. Finally, a rather practical encouragement is to share with them the Wi-Fi and the remote. Now, I bumped into Luke chapter 3 while I was digging through the scriptures for the principles to cover this morning, and I stumbled across Luke chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I want to give it to you here in the D. James perversion. And the crowds were questioning Jesus, saying, "Then what shall we do?" And he would answer and say to them, "The man who has two remotes is to share with him who has none, and he who has Wi-Fi is to do likewise." All right, the truth is, Jesus said, if you have two tunics, share one, and if you have food, do likewise. But in the realities of our electronic homes, our technological era, this is a very simple and practical way that we demonstrate love to each other. It probably comes actually more clearly from the passage in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, where Paul writes one of my favorite marital encouragements and instructions. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, obviously, Paul is not saying we never consider our personal interests, but he's saying in addition to our concerns for our personal interests, in addition to the principle that we love ourselves, we love others by looking out for their interests above our own. If you always want your thing, then you're simply being selfish. The ladies in our lives have favorite shows. They have favorite activities. Maybe they don't like media, maybe they don't like TV, and they could care less about the remote. Well, then you have to revise this principle a little to fit your family. That's part of living with them according to understanding or according to knowledge. Maybe they like a different genre of movies than you like. So when they want to watch their show, you walk out of the room and do something else. On more than one occasion, I know I have done that. And sometimes that's a fine thing to do. Sometimes it's a good way for various ones in the home to meet their own personal needs. But on the other hand, there is a time to share it together, to make the commitment to say, "Hey, I want to do what you want to do. I want to love you by being engaged with you in what would make your first choice primary." So how do you do this? Well, it's a simple question that you can ask. What would you like to watch? Or what game would you like to play if you prefer a board game rather than a television show? And then listen and respond. Join them in doing it. Now, we had the prior instruction and encouragement because this is one of those places where we need to apply it and do this without grumbling and complaining, not just in our words, but in our looks and in our attitudes. Fix her a snack. Bring her something special that makes her comfortable, that shows her that she is special on this occasion. And don't just sit there beside her in another chair or down the sofa while you're on your phone or your iPad with a blue screen glaze on your face, but actually engage in the process. Talk about what's going on at the appropriate time. Show that you are interested. And even if you're not that interested in the show, then make it about being interested in that lady in your life, because you can choose to be engaged with the person and enjoy being together even when it's not your first choice of an activity. Remember, the love is a verb. That is, it's an action. It's a choice. It's a commitment of my will to act in such a way that benefits another person, that looks out for their well-being. So this little principle is maybe more general to say, consider the needs of these ladies in your life and make choices out of love and out of a desire to be together with them that honor their preferences, at least on certain occasions. Here are our four biblical encouragements for today. How to love these sequestered ladies in our life. Number one, we do it according to knowledge, or by understanding them and pursuing a deeper knowledge of them. Secondly, by exercising gracious speech toward and around them. And then by acts of kind and joyful service, whether that's serving them in the Word, that is bringing them together in the Word, or in some other form of activity or engagement in your home. These are ways that we demonstrate their value to us and express our love to them. And by the way, for all the rice in China, or maybe on this occasion we should say, for all the masks and sanitizers in China, this is not something to be only done one day out of the year. It's something you can do anytime to the glory of God and the benefit of the ladies in your life. Let's pray. So Lord, we lift these ladies up to you. We thank you for them and for their influence in our life. We thank you for the honor and privilege that we have to invest in lifting them up, in speaking words of kindness and gratitude to them, of learning to know them better and better as time goes by. I pray, Father, that you would use us to be your hands and feet of encouragement to them this day and in the days to come, that your Spirit would bring us creative ideas and that you would bind our families together in deeper love and care, commitment and service. And we thank you because we know this is upon your heart. These are truths that have come from your Word. Seal them unto us that you might be honored in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a final song there in the little description box under the video. I encourage you to go visit it. It's a challenge to us to keep our families together. And I want to remind you that even though we are separated in space today, we are not separated in heart. We are joined in love. We are joined in the person of Christ. If you don't yet know Jesus, we invite you to check in with us and give us the opportunity to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus that will transform you and all of your relationships. And let me remind you that even though we may not be face to face, you are loved, you are cared for. There are people here praying for our entire church family on a regular basis. If you have a need, a prayer request, please communicate those to us through the website or through email or call the church office. And until we get to do it in person, here's one more virtual hug that says somebody in this world cares about you today and wants you to know the love of Jesus. Hope to see you back next week.